peace. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, folks, if you notice, the reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians starts with that, doesn't it? Every single letter of his starts with that. That's why, as pastors, we use that. That's the greeting the apostles have given to us. Well, last week you heard that at Advent, we bring a lot of diverse subjects together in the church. I mean, last week we showed how like four or five things actually are related. And I think that's what the blessing is for Advent. But today's lesson is about peace. He shall be peace. Well, it's a simple word, isn't it? Okay, well, meaning. Well, what does peace mean? You know, I'm a real stickler sometimes for looking up words to find out exactly what we mean when we say a word. You know, and we're not taught that as kids. But the thing is, the more we understand what we say, the better we get at communicating. Well, peace comes from the Middle English pes, which is from the Old French. It's a variant of pay or pie, is what it is. P-A-I-S, pace in English, if you want to say it. Which comes from the Latin pax, which is actually pronounced pack. Put the T on it, pact. That's where that word comes from. So peace is about a pact. Now we're going to talk about this more in a moment. How many of you have ever heard that peace has to do with a pact? A couple of you, okay? Well, in Greek, the word for peace is irene. In English, Irene. Irene is peace. Okay? Now, irene comes from the word iro, which means to join or tie together in a whole. So peace is to join us together. So properly, we call it wholeness. Peace is wholeness. When all essential parts are joined together in God's wholeness. Now, not one of you has ever heard that, probably, in a definition of peace. To join together in God's wholeness. I found that very interesting. You know, one of the things our reading today about making his pathway straight, George Friedrich Handel wrote the Messiah. That's what he uses to start the Messiah, because it talks about the coming Jesus. All right, last year I sang, you know, Comfort Ye My People. I attempted to sing Comfort Ye My People. All those years of voice lessons are gone. You know, but the thing is, it's followed by a aria called Every valley shall be exalted, which is the next part of that. All right, so why? Yes?
The Lord is speaking to us.
Yes, he is. In German, Peggy's heard this too many times. My grandfather, when he heard that, he would go, Der Donnerwetter hat nicht rent bezahlt. The thunder weather has not hat net. But net is not in Russian, not German. Rent. You know what that is? English. Rent.
Oh, rent.
Yeah. That salt is paid. He hasn't paid for his rent in a long time. But I find it interesting that we hear that right now when I'm talking about the coming Messiah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things. But there's a reason for this reading on the second Sunday of Advent. And it has to do with peace. How do we do that? How do we make pathways straight and all this stuff, you know, related to peace? I'll get to that. All right, let's be reminded of what he says in the gospel. John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. I have preached many times on that strap of the sandal, but today I'm not. there's so much meat in here, I thought, well, I'll go another way. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jeff and I talked about that very thing this morning. His winnowing fork is in his hand. How many of you have ever taken like wheat and tried to harvest wheat without a combine? It's a lot of work. It's about the same thing. But anyway, you've got this, it's like a pitchfork, but it's a winnowing fork, has two things, and you get it up there, pick up the stuff and shake it. All right, the chaff, which is all the stuff that's left, you throw over your shoulder and you leave the wheat on the floor, okay? And that's how you get it. So, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. Exhortations, what does that mean? Not complain.
No, proclaim.
Proclaim and to urge, exhort is what that means. All right, so where does all this stuff about unquenchable fire come from? Malachi, our Old Testament reading today, Malachi, one of the greatest books of prophecy in the Bible, Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. And what it does is it talks about the coming Messiah. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Well, don't hold back, Malachi. How do you really feel? It's one of those things. But Handel again, I'm going to go back and talk about this. There's a great bass aria. But who can abide the day of his coming? If you're from Massachusetts or that part of the world, you remember Godfather's Pizza? Remember the Godfather who was in the commercials? Well, anyway, Godfather's Pizza was out of Omaha, and that's Bill Cole. Bill Cole and I used to sing together. Anyway, every time I hear that, I could hear his bass voice. But, ooh, I mean, the whole room would shake when he did this. For he is like a refiner's fire. And who will stand when he appeareth? You know, and you can just hear Malachi, the hand of God, pointing at you. Who can stand with him? Well, what does that have to do with peace? Well, stop and think about this for a second. Actually, it is. It is. When we believe we are put with God in a pact, here's where we tie everything together, between him and our immortal soul, it's that pact that joins us with the wholeness of God. So who can stand with him when he appears? Us. It's the unbeliever who that is talking to. You know, I've talked to you about one of the things that our job is as pastors is to preach the proper distinction between law and gospel. And I have a sermon full of law. You need to do this. I could be a good Baptist preacher. Okay, but stop and think about that. What am I communicating? Am I communicating the saving gospel of Jesus Christ? No. I'm communicating law. We're not saved by the law, but we are saved by the gospel and the peace of the Lord. See where this is going? You following me on this? Wholeness of God. I find that's an interesting concept, don't you? So here's that good Lutheran question. What does this mean? Well, we are not whole without God, but is God whole without us? Because remember, a pact is between two equal partners, right? Or two partners. Well, are we equal with God? No. So how can this be a pact of peace? Well, here's what we tie in the Greek irene. when all essential parts are joined together in God's wholeness. So has God said that we are essential parts? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for us, that we might have everlasting life. Are we essential parts to God? Yes. Do we have the peace of the Lord in its original meaning, where we are part of his wholeness? We are essential parts with God in this pact. He made the pact with us, didn't he? How many of you ever thought about that with the word peace? Don't feel bad, I hadn't either until I started researching. You know, God paid our bill. Now stop and think about that. God paid our bill. But how? By sending Jesus to die for us on the cross. Because remember, in the Trinity, Jesus is just as much God as God is. And God is just as much Jesus as Jesus is. It's one of those things, I don't understand it either. It's above my pay grade. But I know it's true because the Bible tells me so. Okay? So, do I need to understand it? No. Do I need to know it? Yes. So when God sent Jesus to die for us on that cross, he said to his essential parts, you're important to me. I don't know about you, but doesn't that give you peace? You know, as I said, Advent is where we take a lot of this stuff and we tie it together. Jesus is coming back. That's why we're celebrating Advent. Okay, we really celebrate Christ's birth at Christmas, right? Now we're celebrating him coming back as the judge of creation. We only do it 4 weeks a year, so I think we can do it for 4 weeks. But we're going through life. You ever heard this? You know, life is tough, then you die. Have you ever said it? Yes. You know? Well, life lessons are tough, aren't they? Look at the lesson that Peggy and I just learned with Megan and Wyatt. Did we want to learn that? No. God decided we had to learn that. In fact, we've been talking, what's the lesson we're supposed to know? We don't know yet. But we will know, okay? And God always has a reason for what he does. Boy, boss, would you share it with me? Because I'd sure like to know. But you see, that's the thing, is when we are at peace, we know that God is with us. We're part of his wholeness, we're part of his essential parts, and we can trust in God. For he is like a refiner's fire. And he is getting rid of all the crud that's in us. And that crud is our sins. Because our sins are forgiven, aren't they? You know, if you've ever worked in metals, you know that you got to heat the metals up, and then the slag, especially you folks in here from Pennsylvania, slag heats outside of Pittsburgh. Okay? You got slag that comes off, you take it off, that's the stuff you don't want in there. Well, the stuff we don't want in us are sins. Once we get rid of that, and may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Next week, we choose joy. Of course, I'm getting ahead of myself, and Betty's sitting here beaming. You know, I don't want to get on that. But life lessons are tough, but they can be joyous too. Okay, I'm going to talk about that next week. Our life lessons are our refiner's fire. They're the lessons that make us who we are. They're the lessons that bring us to God and God to us. Because we know if we turn to God, everything okay, because we're essential to God. You know, when I, well, actually Pastor Tony's going to stand there. When we talk about this, this is a new covenant in my blood given to you for the forgiveness of sins. This is a new covenant. What is a covenant? A pact. It's going back to the same thing. It's the peace that passes all human understanding. Philippians 4. Keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. ties together, doesn't it? That's the beauty of the Bible. That's the beauty of the message that comes to us today about peace. And so may this peace between God and his essential parts, us, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.